Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary. This is Rabbi Tim Daniel Bernard, Director of Digital Learning and Engagement at JTS, with a commentary for Vayikra, A Covenant of Salt. Covenant is a central concept in Judaism. The Torah and later tradition make clear that the people Israel have a special relationship with God, and Jews have acquired the epithet the chosen people, though Jewish particularism need not preclude other peoples having their own unique relationship with God. Though Jewish particularism need not preclude other peoples having their own unique relationships with God. Rabbi David Hartman, Zichrono Livracha, titled his exposition of Jewish theology, A Living Covenant. Rabbi David Wolpe, in a speech at JTS, proposed highlighting the mainstream ideological approach of conservative Judaism by rebranding it as Covenantal Judaism. There are several distinct covenants with God in the Tanakh, including with Noah and all humanity, with Abraham and his descendants, with the Jewish people through the giving of the Torah, with Aaron and his priestly descendants, and with David and his royal house. And in our parasha, the somewhat lesser known Covenant of Salt. V'chol korban minchatcha b'melach timlach, v'lo tashbit melach brit elohecha me'al minchatcha, al kol korbancha takriv melach. You shall season your every offering of meal with salt. You shall not omit from your meal offering the salt of your covenant with God. With all your offerings, you must offer salt. The law here is clear. The grain offering and all other, i.e. animal, sacrifices have to be made with salt. The use of the word covenant, brit, is puzzling, and an exploration of this phrase can teach us about the nature of covenants with God and beyond. A similar phrase, brit melach, rather than melach brit, appears two other times in the Bible. All the sacred gifts that the Israelites set aside for God I give to you, to your sons and to your daughters that were with you, as a due for all time. It shall be an everlasting covenant of salt before God for you and for your offspring as well. From Numbers. Surely you know that the God of Israel gave David kingship over Israel forever to him and his sons by a covenant of salt. From 2 Chronicles. Unlike in our parasha, in these contexts, the subject matter isn't about salt at all. So what is this covenant of salt in Numbers and Chronicles? Ramban suggests on our verse in Leviticus that the phrase refers to the requirement for salt in sacrifices as a covenant itself, and that the other verses are compared to it to emphasize their long endurance. Because there is a sacrificial covenant, the Torah also uses this covenant as a model for other covenants, as both the priestly covenant and the Davidic covenant are called covenant of salt because they are upheld just as the sacrificial covenant of salt. The notion of an enduring covenant, one that continues through the generations in particular, is important in both Numbers, where the verse specifically discusses Aaron's descendants, and in Chronicles, where this is part of a demand by David's great-grandson, Abijah, that a challenger submit to his authority. But it's not immediately clear why this covenant of salt on sacrifices is so quintessentially enduring. I suspect that as covenants broadly have a link to salt, the word covenant was added in Leviticus because the emphatic requirement regarding salt brought this link to the author's mind. So, what is the connection between salt and covenants that endure? One quite intuitive suggestion is that it is due to salt's preservative qualities. The Midrash on the passage from Numbers states, "The covenant was made with Aaron with something that is not just healthy, i.e. resistant to decay, but maintains the health of other things." Similarly, on 2 Chronicles, the Mitzudat David commentary of David Altshuler explains the phrase, covenant of salt. The establishment of the enduring covenant with David's house is like salt in that it endures and does not rot. Salt is in fact mentioned in references to covenants in several ancient Near Eastern sources beyond the Bible, and this may well be because its preservative qualities made it the ideal symbol of the perdurability of a covenant, in the words of Jacob Milgram. Salt also played a less figurative role in some ancient covenants, as it was a key ingredient in meals that were eaten on the establishment of a pact. From the Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament, under salt, binding mutual commitments result from the hospitality of table fellowship. The covenant of salt transfers to the divine covenant the notion of hospitality associated with table fellowship, with its subsequent commitment to loyalty and solicitude. Israel is to keep its covenant obligations, although God, too, is to provide for the election and rights of the covenantal partner. Sitting down and eating a proper meal together, salt seems to make the meal proper in some of the ancient world, forms a bond. And it's worth noting that the priestly families literally shared sacrificial meals with God. Biblical scholars often compare the covenant between God and Israel to political arrangements between leaders of greater and lesser powers. That kind of geopolitical framing can obscure the personal, even intimate nature of these covenants. Indeed, political leaders today still have state banquets as acts of foreign relations. A Kabbalistic connection between salt and covenant can also be found in Rabbeinu Bachya, who conceptualizes salt as the product of seawater and the heat of the sun. Therefore, in the essence of salt is the power of water and the power of fire, which signify two of the divine attributes on which the world is established, the attribute of compassion, Midat Rachamim, and the attribute of justice, Midat Hadin. And for this reason, it is called the salt of your covenant with God. And just like the rabbi said in Midrash Bereshit Rabbah, God saw that humanity could not endure with justice alone, so God combined it with the attribute of compassion. Relatedly, salt preserves and destroys. It preserves meat for a long time and gives flavor to food, and it also destroys, as vegetation cannot grow in a place that is very salty. This commentary serves to highlight two important features in covenants: that they are very powerful forces, and that they must be held in balance to harness their forces for benefit and not for harm. The illustration given by Bachya is instructive, that God had to compromise on God's initial plan to allow place for humans in the world. The notion that both parties have to compromise in order to have a successful relationship is familiar from human relationships, but radical when ascribed to divine ones. Covenant is a form of committed relationship, and the facets of the covenants revealed by the efforts of commentators, traditional and modern, to explain this curious reference in our parasha can be instructive to us as we think about the relationships in our own lives, including our relationships with God. How will we make them endure? Will they have impact beyond our own lifetimes? What intimate activities seal and reseal our commitments? How can we keep them in balance and thereby harness their power instead of being consumed by it? The Ben Ish Chai notes that there was a custom amongst the Jews of Baghdad to put salt on the dish that they used to gather the pieces of bread while searching for chametz before Pesach. One of the reasons he suggests for this tradition is that it might be an omen for fulfilling this mitzvah for many years to come, as the Torah refers to salt as an eternal covenant. As we prepare for our upcoming Sedarim, when we will sit down for a ceremonial meal together with those with whom we are in relationship, and as we continue to celebrate the ongoing relationship that God established with our ancestors, may we remember, perhaps as we taste the salt water, to reconsider, reseal, and strengthen all the covenants in our lives. If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.